I heard had the best lesson while I was gone was Jacob. So you guys need to work on your lessons a little bit. Maybe ask Jacob if he'll take you aside and teach you a thing or two. You might be able to make a good lesson one day. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure everybody appreciated your lessons too. But I'm thankful for Jacob and for his work to put into that. I also want to mention to you, I hope everyone will pick up a bulletin and read the article that's in there today. It's written by Renee's cousin, Tim. And he works with a lot of kids in New York City and in the surrounding areas. That's his he's supported full-time as a preacher in that respect. And he preaches from the bulletin occasionally, but primarily his work, he does several studies every week with different kids from various backgrounds. And then he travels to different places and works with kids too. So I'd say he probably has a good grip on what the makeup of the young people in the church is right now. And he addresses a problem that I don't think many of us recognize as a problem. And he mentions that there. He makes a statement in there about how our society is changing. And there are new and challenging problems that we face in different ways that we haven't before with the internet and other things. And so homosexuality is not something we normally think of as a problem in the church. And I don't think it's a rampant problem, but I think he brings a situation about if a young man came forth and confessed to having homosexual temptations, most of us would be shocked and probably unsure how to handle that. And it's a different kind of sin that carries a lot of different thoughts along with it. But just like any other sin, our primary focus would be to help someone get out of that sin, and for whatever the reason, we may argue about whether someone's born homosexual or not. He says he doesn't think that's the case, and I don't think that's the case either, but he says that's really not helpful. That discussion isn't helpful. In talking to someone that's struggling with that, what's helpful is helping someone to realize no matter what temptations we face, whether you're a kleptomaniac and you can't help yourself from stealing, whether you're an alcoholic and you have drinking problems, whether you have any kind of sexual problems, the main thing that we all have to face is if we want to be accepted of God and if we want to do what God wants us to do, we have to overcome those temptations. And we need to be ready to help people involved in that sin. So anyways, he says a lot more about that in that article, so I hope you'll read it. And maybe we can at least be mentally prepared to deal with that as our society changes. Most of you know that I just got back. My family just got back from a trip to Norway. And there's a mic right now. It's not working. Maybe I didn't turn it on.
It's not on. Thought I turned it on. Why they have to have two switches, I don't know. But whenever I travel to another country, especially when I'm in the airports, and I hear lots of different languages. Of course, my ears always peak when I hear Norwegian. Especially we went to the Amsterdam airport. A lot of times if you travel to Europe, you're going to have to go through Amsterdam. And there's just people from everywhere. You're going to see people from Asia, people from Germany, people from Russia, people from Norway, people from all these different places. And you hear these languages. And it's interesting. But at the same time, for those of us that know the gospel, it's also, I don't know what the right word is, disheartening, sad, to recognize that there's so many people in the world that don't know the gospel. I become keenly aware that the number 7 billion is a big number when I'm in those types of situations. And the population of our planet is now over 7 billion. That's a big number. That's lots of people. and a very small percentage of that that knows the gospel and has obeyed it. And so there are a lot of people in this world trying to live without the light of the gospel. You could say in one perspective that they're lost in darkness. The light, they're in a dark room, the light's out. They're trying to find their way around and they're failing on the walls and they're bumping into things as they try to get where they're going. And that's what life is like for people without the Word of God. Now, God has just created us as in His image. We have some wisdom and some capabilities within ourselves. But I think all of us have found out that the Scripture that says it is not within man to direct his own steps, that has smacked us in the face a time or two. If I just listened to God, I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in. Or if I just listened to God, I wouldn't have lost that person that was so important to me. God is the light. The Bible talks about that. And we're going to look at Psalm 18 in just a moment that talks about God as our light. But as I look at these people, I wonder if any of them know much about God or His will for them or the eternity that awaits them. It's easy to see that many are lost in darkness in this world and deceived into thinking that the pleasures of this world could actually satisfy them. But we all know, everyone, almost universal, whether they're a believer or not, recognizes that the more you get, the more that you want. This world is just not made to satisfy us. We all have a God-shaped hole in our heart. They're trying to find their way in the darkness without the light that they so desperately need. But God is that light. I want you to look with me in Psalm 18, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 30. It's up on the board if you'd like to read it from there. Psalm 18, verses 25 to 30. With the kind, you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself astute. For you save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in Him. And I think if any of us have tried to follow God and follow the Scriptures for any time, we can recognize the truth of this statement that God is the light. That if we would stop doing the things that He tells us is sinful, that our lives would be much better. That doesn't mean it's going to be peachy. That doesn't mean everything's just going to be a-okay, because we still live in a world that's involved with sin. But it can make it a whole lot better, and at the very least, our conscience can be cleansed, and that just makes life a whole different way to live. The psalmist said, "For you light my lamp." He says, "When I tried to walk on my own, I was walking in darkness, but God, you just light my way." The psalmist says in another place, in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about the Word of God, and the psalm says, "Your Word is a light to my path, a lamp unto my feet." God is the light that everyone on this planet so desperately needs, and so few have. I was thinking as Keith was giving, telling us his story to help direct our minds in the Lord's Supper, I was thinking you could change that scenario a little bit. And all of us at some point are in that toll booth. And here's a train going across the bridge. And we know that bridge is going to go up and those people are all going to die. And there's some on that train that don't know it. And there's some on that train that are mistakenly thinking that they're going to be okay anyways. But we're just going about our business. Our favorite TV show is on or whatever. And so we're too busy to press the button to lower it down and help them get across safely. And that's the same thing with evangelism. All of us have the knowledge and the power. Those of us that know the Scriptures, we have the knowledge and the power to relate to people the message that saves them. To relate to them the message of light so that they can stop falling on their faces and creating a train wreck out of their lives and eventually out of eternity. We have the ability to help people. Now, they may not listen. They may go about and destroy their lives anyways, but we have the ability. And how many times have you used that ability? How many times have you looked at someone's life and you knew that they were destroying it with the sins in their lives, but we just didn't say anything? I tell you, there's been plenty of times that I've done it. It just wasn't convenient for me to say something. It was too challenging for me to do it. It was I had something else that I really needed to get done. And so I let the people walk in darkness. It's going to be too late one day for some of these people to be able to see the light. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. When I think about all of these people across the world and my desire to get the gospel to them, one thing that I need to realize is that it starts here. It starts here at home. It starts here in our community. If we want to help these people in all of these far-off places, it's not the only thing that we can do is that we have to actually go there. But if we start here, we can have an impact that is unbelievable. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2 says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." I want to notice two things that Paul says about the Thessalonians here. He says in verse 6, "You became imitators of us and the Lord." When they obeyed the gospel, it was their utmost concern that they lived their lives the same way that Jesus and the apostles lived their lives. What kind of impact do you think that made on the community around them? There are a lot of ways in their society that was going to stick out. And there are a lot of ways in our society today that if we try to live like Jesus, if we try to live like the apostles, it's going to stick out and people are going to take notice. People are going to see that. And they might just have to come up to us and say, "Why do you live that way? I want to know what you know. I want to have what you have." Something else that he says here in verse 8 is, "The word of the Lord has sounded forth from you." It is a wonderful thing for us to follow the example of Jesus and to follow the example of His apostles. But brothers and sisters, I have to tell you something. Just being a good example is not good enough. We can teach people some things by our example, but they can't know all the things they need to know to be saved, to become a Christian, to live how they need to live if we don't say something. But the Thessalonians not only lived as an example to them, but the word of the Lord sounded forth from them. The word of the Lord was on their mouth. And so when they talked to people, the word of the Lord was something that was coming out. And was something that they were trying to influence the people around them with. And so we need to understand that that's what we need to be doing on a daily basis here. Trying to live like Jesus and preach the truth of Jesus. But I want you to notice what Jesus said Himself in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I want to tell you something. If we're being the examples that we should be, and if the word of the Lord is sounding forth from us here in our own community, how is that going to affect people across the world? I want to show you something. Maybe you haven't noticed before. He says, we're making disciples, we're baptizing them, and we're teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. What did Jesus just command them to do? To go and make disciples, to go and preach the gospel in other places. And so as we go and preach the gospel to people, if they obey and we teach them to do what God commanded us, what are they going to go do? They're going to go and they're going to preach the gospel and they're going to teach others to observe all that Christ commanded them to do. And on and on and on it goes. And that's how it's been working for 2,000 years. And you know, especially in our day, where travel is so easy, people don't stay in one place. Now, here in Coleman County, it's kind of hard to find somebody that's not from Coleman County. We like to, people from here like to stay put. But that's okay, too. We have work here to do. But there's a lot of people that they don't stay put for very long. And we're going to have people coming in and out of our community from different places, for different jobs and things that are things that have to do with their lives. And what happens if here in your own community, you have the opportunity and you teach them the gospel? And I have several friends that in the last few years, they've gone to foreign countries. It's a big thing now to be able to go to foreign countries and teach English to people there. What if they get a job like that? And so you teach someone here in Coleman County, and then all of a sudden they're in Vietnam teaching people English there. And what are they supposed to be doing? Teaching the gospel to those people there. And those people in Vietnam are going to teach the gospel to the people that they see. And people go in different places in Asia, and now they're moved to Thailand. And now people in Thailand are hearing the gospel because you taught somebody here in Coleman County. If we want to have a big impact on the world, we're going to have to start here at home. Here's a biblical example of how this happens. How God can conquer many through one. Read with me in Colossians 1 and verse 3. Colossians 1 and verse 3. "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf." He said in verse 6 that the gospel already at this time, not very long after the church was established, already the gospel is bearing fruit in all the world. That's how God can conquer many through one. But I want to ask you specifically, how did the gospel get to the Colossians? He said in verse 7 it got to them from Epaphras. Well, we find out in Colossians 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfectly and fully assured in all the will of God. I think Epaphras was a Colossian. And so somewhere, at some point in time, someone preached the gospel to Epaphras. And what did he do? Epaphras went back home. And Epaphras taught the family there, and now the gospel's spreading throughout that community there. And they're sounding forth, and people are hearing the gospel all over the world. Just because somebody, somewhere, taught someone, and it just kept going and going and going. This led to the thriving church in Colossae and the other churches we read about in the New Testament. And even as a side note, I want you to think about, if we're preaching the gospel here in our community, if we're converting people, what's that? Well, what should that naturally do to our contribution? It should grow along with our number. And that's going to enable us to support more people preaching the gospel in different places. So that's just another way that if we're preaching the gospel here in our community, we're going to be able to impact the entire world and help people that are lost in darkness. But how does it start? How come sometimes we don't say what we should say? How come we're not working as diligently as we should in our own community? Listen to what Paul said about the Colossians in Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with all with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know what's going to cause us to want to tell other people? Is when we think about what God has done for us. When we are so joyful, when we are so thankful that we've had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Listen to the way that Paul words it. That God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. That He rescued us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He redeemed us. He forgave us from our sins. Is that not something we should be ever thankful for? In one way, that is a sure expression of our gratitude to God for our own salvation, is when we tell others, when we share the message with others. There's many people walking in darkness. Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. We needed Jesus, and the world needs Jesus. And God has appointed us, His people, as the ones to take it to the rest of the world, starting here at home. Listen to something He said to His Old Testament people and through Isaiah. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Which part of that could not be said of His new covenant people? I think all of that can be said of us today. God has appointed us, just as Jesus said earlier, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. And so that is a command for us. And that's something that a joyously thankful heart will be desiring to do anyways. And so I want to encourage you to be more mindful of the people around you that are walking in darkness and that need you to speak up, need you to say something, need you to point them in the right direction, so that they can come to know Jesus and they can live for Him. And it can be said of us, as it was said of the New Testament Christians in the book of Acts, these people are turning the world upside down with the things that they are teaching. You'll see the power of the gospel when you start using it. And so we all need to do a little bit better at bringing the light to the dark world. But if there's some here this morning that are not Christians, and you would like the light of God, you would like the salvation that He offers, you can come to Him today. He offers forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. If you believe He's the Son of God and you're willing to repent, to turn from your sins and be baptized into Him, you can become a Christian this morning. And if you're already a Christian, and you know you haven't been the example you should be, you know you haven't been sounding forth as you should have, come and we'll pray together. We'll ask God to forgive us of our failure to teach His Word and to give us strength and courage to do it in the future. Whatever your need is, please come as we sing this song.